Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my
friends at the old country church. Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward to be with us, to guide us, and to give us greater knowledge of the truth of your word, Father, so that we can gain in knowledge and wisdom, and to be better equipped to help others, Father, who are walking in weakness and in darkness. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be now in 2 Thessalonians. Pardon me. This flame in my throat is really bothering me this morning. I'm trying to get rid of a lot of it. And I pray that you'll just bear with me. All right. We finished with 1 Thessalonians, going into 2 Thessalonians, which we wrote just shortly after the first, because the church is still having a lot of trouble. And coming through 1 Thessalonians, and thus far, actually, as far as we've come through the New Testament, anyone that is really going to follow the Word of God and walk with Him, put their faith and their belief and their trust in Him, in the Lord, is going to walk with troubles, trials, and tribulations, and they will suffer a lot of wrong things. But that shouldn't come as any surprise, because we are told in the Word, been told many, many times thus far, and we're going to be told more times as we go on through the New Testament. Now, come back to our study this morning in verses 1 and 2, which is the salutation Paul is giving. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 3. That's the way his salutation he gave at the beginning of this epistle. 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And he's telling them here in verse 3, your faith groweth. And Paul cannot help but say once again how impressed he is with their spiritual growth. This no doubt reflects the vivity of his stay there, and their testimony suggests that his earlier fears have been dispelled. Now, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Paul there in 4 is letting them know that by them coming through all of that really gives them glory and all. Because he's telling them right there, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. And because of their patience and faith. And he goes on talking about their persecutions and tribulations, the things they've had to go through in obtaining what they have. Because we know they were those that followed Paul everywhere he went, causing trouble in the churches when he would leave. Now, 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Token means literally evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Another translation would be for the righteous. Paul is not saying that their suffering reflects God's judgment. Rather, that it will be evidence used in judgment against those who persecute them. God will righteously repay trouble to the wicked, counted worthy. Their suffering does not qualify them for the kingdom. Instead, it is a privilege extended to those who are genuinely members of the kingdom. Now you see, Paul is letting them know that because they belong to the Lord God and their belief and their living is in Him, they're going to suffer these things. That's also letting you and I know, too, that we are going to suffer. And the stronger we get in Him, the more Satan is going to come against you and I in all of his ways, in every way he can. That's why we cannot give him not one little crack to come through, but to keep him at bay. And when you are a born-again child of God, you have the authority and the power to do that because you have the authority to use the name of Jesus, which he cannot stand against. And you have the power and knowledge and all that the Holy Spirit is given to you in order to be able to stand against them. Don't have to give in to him at all. Does that mean it's not going to hurt? No. It will bring trouble to you, but you, with patience and the love of Almighty God, you stand and make it through. Now, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is a righteous thing. It refers back to the righteous judgment of God cited in the previous verse. Now, 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's talking about rest here. In other words, relaxation. And it is appropriate since Paul is encouraging them to relax and wait for the Lord's return, in which time he will judge all those who afflict his people with us. Paul again uses himself as an example. He too had suffered. Their suffering only gives them something in common with the apostle. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed at the revelation, the Lord Jesus. The 2 Thessalonians primary concerns the revelation of Christ at his second coming, as distinguished from the rapture. The failure to recognize this distinction led to some of the problems at Thessalonica, and is still today causing problems in a lot of understanding as man does read the word. And is coming. We know that there will be a rapture before his second coming. All of us that are his, we know this. It's throughout the word. But still, they are those out there that does not know to make the difference in the reading, which is which. Then it can cause different problems. Now, seven, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, eight, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this in flaming fire, the manifestation of the Son of Man employs this same apocalyptic imagery. Paul employs know, in a sense similar to the Hebrew, in this context, it signifies being intimately acquainted with the standing in a close relation to God. Thus, it means more than just knowing someone. It means more. You see, we are to be close, not just to know or and speak the name of God, but to be close. And the only way we can do that is by coming together, studying his word, meditating upon it, and putting it in our hearts, in our minds, and living what it tells us and how it tells us to live. Now, man, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? That everlasting destruction it is the conscious, contentious fellowship from the presence of God that is from the place of blessing. You see, that's what everlasting destruction is. It means that you are actually expelled from God, and that you never be back with him. And you'll go in making your home in hell and end up with hell and all in that lake of fire. Now, 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In that day, that is the day of his revelation, the second coming. But you see, just before his second coming, a lot of things is going to happen. Tribulation will be starting. Then the rapture will take place. The church will be taken out of all of the mess. His people will be with him And then when he comes back to the earth, he's going to be bringing all of us with him to set up his thousand-year millennial reign here on this earth. And then he'll also be a great white throne judgment. And that's when all that has not believed in him, has not accepted him, and lives for him, Satan, all of his demons, and hell itself will be cast into that lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the scripture tells us, the worm never dies. That punishment will last throughout eternity. Think about that. Really get a hold of that and see if that is what you want for your life. Are you willing to trade these few short years here on this earth for an eternity there in that lake of fire? You never know relief. And you can't die out to where you don't exist. That's not what I want. That can only speak for me. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Paul letting them know here that they are always praying for them, just as we always pray here in this ministry. We are still praying for Israel and the Jewish people. They are God's people. We love them. And we pray for all the people here in our land and wanting to see them straighten up, and all of our churches that have been teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God and bringing things in and letting things in to the church that they should not have allowed through the front door, such as the belief that homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it, it's just an alternate lifestyle, and that abortion is a woman's right to choose. It's not. Only God has the right to take that child. When she chooses to take that life, she is choosing to commit murder. And she'll find that out when she stands before the Lord. But then it's too late. Because, you see, she's been made to believe that it was fine, along with a lot of other things that's being accepted today. Lives of fornication, people that are not married, living together as if they were. Bible tells them, no. It's not right. But they don't want to believe it. And they won't ever, they're not ashamed. They want everybody to know we've moved in together. They broadcast in adultery is common also today. We've got ministers in the pulpit that is living in adultery, and the church is accepting him and letting him continue on. Church is going to pay. And those members are going to pay. Now, to continue on, we live. Let our God recount you worthy of this calling, all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. You see, when you are a child of God, you have the ability to work by faith and with power to get the job done that God is wanting of you to do, and to get through things that comes against you, because you're not alone. He is right there with you, and you have the faith and the power to make it through. You're not alone. If you're alone, you might not make it, but you're not alone. They are there with you. Now, 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Is that name of Jesus being glorified in and through you? Are you living the life of his, belonging and being his, and having him live through you so everyone can see him in you? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Because you see, when they look at our lives, they need to see our lives glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need to be able to see that he is in us and we are in him. And this all happens according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way it happens. You see, these are things we need not only to think about, but always to remember, and always remember the word of God that will hold us where we belong, if we will let it. But you see, we have to choose on how to walk and how to live. Our choice. We can either choose to live for the Lord our God, make heaven our home, or we can choose to go to hell with Satan and his bunch and end up with that lake of fire. All right. We've come to the end now of chapter 1. And God willing, this evening at 6, pardon me, you will be in chapter 2. And I pray that you'll be with me for that. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray now for Israel and this land of ours, that they'll both, Father, have peace. And they'll both accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, I pray that those that are sitting in high places in the government that is bringing evil upon the land will stop and repent and be removed from office, and that they will be replaced with those that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, I also pray for those that are removed, that they too, Father, can find that they need the light, and that light being Jesus, and that they can go to him and repent for all the evil they've caused, be forgiven, and begin to make a new life for themselves, and end up on that pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, I pray for all that's with this ministry, and all that listens to it, may they receive the good things of it, Father. It will help them to walk as they are called to walk. Now, Father, give us all health. Give us all strength, energy, to get through this day, and bring us back together this evening, Father, at 6 p.m., and back into your room. Keep us in health and safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray that you have a great day. Bye-bye now.